Your host, Lunaria Gaia, and here we talk all things body image, self-esteem, your thinking and your mind. How do you connect true to you in every part of who you are? I want you to know that all of you is welcome, so sit back and relax and listen to today's episode. Sending you love. Hello and welcome back to part three of my experience with the meditation technique and the course that I just experienced known as Vipassana, 10-day silent meditation course whereby we observe the reality as it is. If you haven't already gone and listened to part one and part two, they're very, very helpful. They will give you a really solid groundwork and understanding. Part one of what had led me to doing it, what my God moment was, my experience with life and finding my higher self within in part one of our conversation. In part two, kind of break down what a day in the life of Vipassana is all about, what you're there to do, and to speak to the beginning of the technique and the process and that generalized experience of what led me back to come again and what it's like there day to day. And we started tasting some of the lessons that have been imparted upon me that have really embedded what I already knew to be true within my own self-education. So part three, this is all about the lessons. This is all about the teachings. This is the teachings of my interpretation. I'm going to go with my interpretation, okay? Because I'm not here to teach you Vipassana. I'm not here to put you on a 10-day course. My mission here on this podcast, in the work that I do, when I work with my clients, with everyone that I come into contact with my work, the podcast, the books that I write, the content that I make, is about being able to help you to be happier, right? To love yourself, to come home to you, to awaken the sense of truth that is inside of you so that you can get free and happy, right? You want to be free and happy. You want to be free and happy. I want to help you be free and happy, to be your most confident, vibrant self so you can get out of your own way. Oh my goodness gracious. Don't you want to get out of your own way? Don't you want to get free from the suffering, from the mental craziness that goes on in your head, from being absolutely triggered constantly by the world around you? He said that, she said that, I didn't get my way. I want this. We are constantly reacting to the world around us and the world within us constantly reacting, and it's causing us misery. And so in today's conversation, I'm going to share with you the lessons that I've learned and the lessons that have really embedded for me. Because as I was at the training this time around as my second Vipassana, a lot of the lessons that I realized I either had A, learned at my first Vipassana, but B, it's that I have actually, although not kept up the practice of meditation, like the Vipassana meditation over the last 5 years between my first and second, but I've lived this. I've lived this, and it's what I've been teaching for many, many, many years now. I've been teaching for many, many years that if we continue to react to the outside world, then we are going to be unhappy. That's an obvious truth. So a lot of the lessons that I learned this time around were confirmation of going, yep, cool. There's full alignment with what I know to be true. When, hear me loud and clearly here. Hear me loud and clearly. You will be miserable when you are putting all of your attention on reacting to the circumstances of your life. When you react to the circumstances of your life, your mind makes decisions that are causing you to be miserable. And the way out of that misery that you're experiencing, the suffering that you're experiencing, the apathy, the depression, the anxiety, when you're experiencing like, oh my God, the angst of being in your own head where you just want to be happy, the way out of that is to observe reality as it is, to be able to accept the reality as it is and do something about it if it's required. The Serenity Prayer comes to mind from that. The Serenity Prayer says, grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, the courage to change things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And so this training like Vipassana, I'm going to be bringing the lessons that I learned from Vipassana, but also everything that I have been teaching and learning over the last, you know, two decades of my life, how it's amalgamated into this moment currently up until this point. Of course, I'm not going to be banging on 45-part Vipassana downloads. They will just come through naturally in the experiences here, through the podcast, through my work, through my book, my second book that I'm writing. All the lessons are coming through. All the lessons coming through my courses. You'll be able to attend any of my courses, come to my live trainings, all that kind of stuff. So the lessons are coming. What I really want you to understand is that our mind is ruled by our egos completely and utterly. And when I say ego, what I'm speaking about is your construction of your identity, I, right? Your programmed, your conditioned beliefs from your past, right? From your childhood, from you know, whether or not, if you believe in past lives, then it's that accumulation. If you don't, it's certainly the accumulation of the life that you've been living up until now, right? Your conditioned response, your patterns. You know, here's an example. Finish this sentence for yourself. Money doesn't grow on... Money is the root of all. Now, I can pretty much guarantee that you all knew the end of those sentences, right? Because we've been conditioned. We've been programmed. Those things have been embedded within us throughout our lifetimes. We've heard it enough times. And for many of us, it's become our truth, right? But it's not the truth. Anything that we have been taught in our lives, our conditioning and our programming, is not the truth. It's not the ultimate truth. It is impermanent. It is a changing truth, right? It is what you are experiencing on the apparent level. On the apparent level, the level that you see, you go, oh, okay, cool. Well, I just say, for example, I live in a bigger body, therefore I'm meant to be unhappy. I live in a bigger body, or I don't like the shape of my body, or I don't like this experience, so therefore I'm unhappy. So if I just change my body, then I will get happy. But then, of course, you change your body and you're still freaking unhappy. Oh, okay, well, it must be my partner. Or I must need to get a partner. You know, I either must need to get a different partner, my partner needs to be better, or if I'm single, I need to get a partner. Then I will be happy. And so you make those changes. You go and fix that thing. And for a while there, you're okay. And then you're like, I'm unhappy again. Shit. Okay. Oh, okay. I understand. It's because I'm broke. So I've got the body that I want. I've got the partner that I want. I'm going to now go get the money that I want. Sweet. So I'm going to focus on my career and I'm going to make that happen. Right. And I finally get that, or get the promotion, or I become a nurse. I follow the dream. I do the thing. I get there, and it's good for a while, and then I'm unhappy. I find myself unhappy again. I'm unsettled. Oh, okay, cool. So, okay, I've got the job. Well, that's because I need a new car. You get where this is going, right? I need a new car. Cool, I'll get the new car. This is amazing. I feel so great. It's so great to have a new car. This is the best. I've always wanted a car like this. It's my dream. I get a car. After a while, I'm unhappy. It's not sustainable. Have you ever noticed that? Is that no matter how much you seek outside of yourself, it's never enough. Ever. Ever, 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 ever. It doesn't matter if you get the right job. It doesn't matter if you get the right partner. It doesn't matter if you get the right body. It doesn't matter how many possessions or experiences you collect in your life and travel the world. You know, marry rich, you get everything you've ever dreamed and desired of. If you do not learn how to master your mind, you will be unhappy. If you do not understand how to master your mind, you will be unhappy, irrelevant of life circumstances. Hear me loud and hear me clear. This is what we know to be true. You will be unhappy if you are relying on outside circumstances. And the way that Vipassana speaks about that is that there is craving and there is aversion. You want something. I want, I want, I want, I want, I want. There is desire. That becomes attachment, becomes clinging. We then get clinging to the thing. We try to hold on to the things that we have, because if I let go of it, if I have to end that relationship, then my happiness goes with it. Yet everything changes. Another lesson from Vipassana is that it's impermanent. Everything changes. Nothing lasts here in this reality, in this plane of existence to which we live in right now. Nothing is always. Nothing here is always. In fact, from my first Vipassana, I can't really see this tattoo very well, particularly for those of you who are watching visually. I have a leaf, an autumn leaf tattooed on my right forearm. And it's actually a leaf that I picked up off the ground, at my very first Vipassana. I still have the leaf. I took the leaf into the tattoo place and said, put that on my arm. And in great detail, he carved this leaf onto my arm. It is red. And it's to remind me that everything changes. It's impermanent. The irony is that, you know, I get a permanent, quote, permanent tattoo on my body to remind me of impermanence. But the reality is that one day this body is going to decompose. And how old am I now? I just turned 40. In no more than 80 years, I know that's a big stretch, in no more than 80 years, this body will be disintegrated. This will no longer exist. This tattoo on my body will no longer exist. Probably in 60 years, this tattoo will no longer exist. Everything arises and everything passes away. And it is our clinging, it's our attachment, it is our expectation that something's going to last that causes us misery. And the other cause of misery is our aversion. I don't want it to be here. I don't like how it is. This isn't going to work. I don't like it. If I just fix it, desire, if I just fix it, if I just move away from this thing now, then I will be happy. But these two things, craving and attachment, these two very things, are the source of our misery. We understand that with aversion, right? When we don't like something, if we don't want it the way that it is, we get miserable. We're depressed. We don't like it. It's horrible. Something is wrong. We don't want it to be this way. And we get angry and we're full of hatred and screw that person. And if the government just did the right thing, then I would be happy. Or if my partner, you know, my partner wasn't so mean to me, then I'd be happy. I don't want that to happen. So I'm unhappy because of the thing. What you're really unhappy about is the aversion that you have. It's the aversion. Now I'm going to speak to you in a bit about, like, you know, this is not about being powerless and letting people walk all over you and not actually making any practical changes in your life. It's not about that. Because this training of Vipassana and what I teach in my own work here is very practical. I want to empower you to be able to make conscious decisions. This is not about being passive. It's not even close to being passive. This is about you becoming the master of your mind, understanding the nature of your mind and the reality as it is, so that you can do something about it. Not so that you keep chasing outside of you. Chase that, chase that, chase that, chase that, then I will be happy. It's not about that. It's not about getting everything you've ever desired. If it was true that getting everything you wanted made you happy, then Robin Williams wouldn't have killed himself. Then Amy Winehouse wouldn't have drunk herself into oblivion. Think about the amount of examples that we have in human society whereby people who seem to have it all are so miserable that they kill themselves or abuse themselves to death. It's not getting everything you've ever wanted. Jim Carrey famously says it. He says, Jim Carrey says that he wishes that everybody could get everything that they've ever wanted to realize that is not the way to happiness. Because it's not. It's just not. Because the mind is always going to have, providing, as long as you are the slave to your mind rather than you being the master of it, it will have aversion, it's not going to like how things are, and it's going to have craving. It's going to want things to be different. In the aversion and with the craving, I want it that way. both of these realities, this craving, this aversion, both of these things are causing you to be miserable. Let's have a look at a breakdown of this. And this model, I can't remember what they called it in Vipassana, but I loved the simplicity of it. That's what Vipassana is really, really all about. That this is the teaching of the Buddha, right? This is the teaching of the Buddha, not Buddhism. And I say the Buddha. Buddha is a title that's given to someone who's become enlightened, right? It is not like Jesus, you know, if you believe in that, was a person, right? No, Buddha is just given to anybody who reaches enlightenment. That's all. That's all that that happens to be. It is not that, not to say that you should praise or not praise or whatever Buddha and have symbology of Buddha here, right? It's not about going, oh, Buddha, help me, Buddha. Buddha always taught, and you'll see that through Buddhist texts, like from Buddhism stuff, that says, do not take my word for it. Don't take my word for it. Go experience it yourself. Here is the teachings that I have come to discover. Go find out for yourself, which is what I teach you too. Like, I'm not your guru. I don't want to become the one. I, especially with my clients in my courses, if you read my book, if you spend time with me one-on-one coaching, books are open twice a year, by the way. If you have worked with me, I never want you to become reliant on me. I am not the source of your happiness. You are. You are also the source of your misery. You are the source of your misery, so therefore you are the source of your happiness. You are the source of your liberation. You are the source of your freedom that you are looking for. If you continue to look outside, including in a guru, including in a god, in a Buddha or a Luna or whatever course, whatever program, this is the way. If I just devote myself fully to plants, then I'm going to be happy. No. It is within. The kingdom of heaven is within you. But a lot of people don't want to take that because it takes too much responsibility. You're going to have to do the work. Like, it's up to you. Now, people can show you the path. Vipassana, what Buddha taught, is a path. Is the path that he discovered that worked for him and for countless others that continues to work to this day. You get to decide. You get to see the path laid out to you. And like I say to my clients many, 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 many times over, I can't do the push-ups for you. If I do the push-ups, I'll get stronger. If you do the push-ups, you'll get stronger. If you watch me do the push-ups, I still get stronger. And you can be like, oh, wow. Yep, I believe in push-ups. I wholeheartedly believe in push-ups. You can believe in push-ups as much as you want. It will not give you stronger push-up ability. It won't. You can watch it. You can pray to it. You can pray to push-ups. Yes, push-ups. Push-ups are the best thing. Dear push-ups, please allow my muscles to be stronger. I want you push-ups. Please push-up. Make my chest stronger. Make my shoulder stronger. Make my back stronger. Make my arms stronger. I pray to you. I pray to you. I pray to you. I weep at your feet, push-up God. You can do that as much as you possibly want. You will not get any stronger. You must walk the path yourself. That is the point. The point is that you walk it yourself. You do the push-ups. The push-up God will serve you great if you do them. It's experiential. It has to be lived. You have to do the work. And that work is to purify the mind, as in the words of Vipassana. It's to purify the mind. I said to you a little while back that the mind is polluted with the ego. The ego is this craving. It's this aversion. It's this identity. I am this. You know, it's all your constructs of who that you think that you are. It's your programming. It's your conditioning. It's your habit patterns of the mind. Habit patterns of the ego are clouding your mind. And through the process of a meditation like Vipassana, but also all the personal development stuff that you're learning here. Like everything that you learn, everything that I teach is about purifying the mind, about clearing your mind. Clearing your mind isn't like, oh, I'm just going to not have any thoughts right now. No, it's cleaning it up. It's realizing that it's friggin' messy up in there. You're totally attached to what is happening, the stories of your past. No, I'm depressed. You don't understand. Right? No, I'm suffering because my boyfriend left me. Okay. You can continue to go down that path and acknowledge your feelings. Absolutely. I'm always going to tell you, Vipassana or no Vipassana, that all of you is welcome. We cannot reject ourselves or deny ourselves into happiness. It doesn't work that way. We can't hate ourselves into self-love. We have to process the emotions. It's another podcast. Go check out that episode. Or come work with me. My coaching books are open at the end of 2023 for the beginning of 2024. So let's have a conversation if you're curious. Your happiness and your liberation comes from cleaning the mind and understanding that those programming, that conditioning, this craving, this aversion, this fear is clouding. It's having a big, thick, dirty lens over your window. You can't see clearly. You simply cannot see clearly. So our job is to clean the mind, deal with your emotions, learn how to deal with your thoughts. You learn how to deal with your emotions, learn how to deal with your thoughts, learn how to deal with your attachment to certain outcomes and your aversions to other outcomes. Learn how to process fear that exists within inside of you, and you will be happy. You have to apply it, though. It has to be experiential. You have to live it. As I was saying before, there is a model that I don't remember what they called it in the Vipassana, but so incredible for us to be able to look at the reality as it is. What is actually happening? What is actually happening to cause us misery? Four parts, right? Four steps here. Four things are happening. We have our senses. We have smell. We have taste. We have sight. We have hearing. Smell, taste, sight, hearing, touch, five. And then we have thought, mind, six. Six senses, right? Whether or not you want to call the sixth sense to be like, ooh, do-do-do-do-do-do-do, or whatever. The way that the Buddha teaches it is that the sixth sense is the mind, right? And these are the sense doorways, right? These are the doorways. And just say, I'm going to give you an example of one of the five physical, and then I'll give you an example of the six, what happens here. So the first one, just say we get cognition, right? Cognition is something comes through one of our sense doors. Right? Something comes through our sense doors in the sense that, okay, cool, I see something. Now let's go with hearing. I hear a song on the radio. That is cognition, right? I have cognized the fact that there is a song. Then what happens? That's step one. This is in all cases, in every single circumstance, what is happening to you in your life every single moment, every day. The next thing that happens is two, we recognize, right? We recognize. And in this recognition that is happening, we are like filtering through. Our mind then goes back through the programming, goes back through the conditioning. Where have I cognized this before? What happened the last time? Or what's been something similar to this experience, right? The song has come in through the ear sense, to the door of the hearing, and now my mind's trying to figure out, this happens in a millionth of a second, right? It happens so, so quickly, you do not even know that it's happening. This is why being aware of what is happening is so important. We recognize. We cognize step one, we recognize in step two. The recognition in step two is where the meaning gets placed. This is not what the Buddha was teaching necessarily in Vipassana. This is my interpretation of it. So what, and my application of what I already teach, right? And what I've shown with you for many, many years now. In step two, there is recognition, okay? Recognition. That recognition is where we are now placing meaning on the event. So the event happened, a song came in. We now place meaning on that song. Just say that song is, oh, I recognize this song. There's that beat, right? I recognize this. I've heard this song before. I'm now placing a reference point of recognition of where I've experienced this or something similar before, right? Cognition, recognition. The third step there is sensation. Then you have a sensation somewhere in your body. So just say, I have a sensation of like, yeah, I have this joy moment. There's this feeling of elation. There is, my heartbeat might go up. I'm tapping my foot. There is sensation in the body. This is happening lightning fast, by the way. Sensation in the body. And then the fourth thing that happens to complete this circle is we have a reaction. We cognize, we recognize, we have a sensation, and then we react. And that fourth one of reaction, is that either craving or aversion? Do I like it? Do I not like it? And that do I like it or I not like it is based on the meaning that we've placed on it in step two, in the recognition. To be able to observe reality as it is, what we want to do is be able to cut out those last three steps, right? If we just cognized what happened, right? Cool. There is sound. It doesn't mean you're not going to dance to it and groove to it. You're human, right? You're going to groove. But if you just observe the reality as it is without then going to place all this meaning on it about what it means and how that reference points, then to get the sensation of, oh, yeah, cool. And then you decide to react, I like it, right? You are going to help to end your misery. Now, I hear a whole bunch of you thinking right now, but hang on a second. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with like, how is that causing me misery? Here's what happens. I like that feeling. I like that sensation. I want more of it. I don't want the song to end. Have you ever had that with a great meal, great sex, a great experience, the most amazing day? You don't want it to end. You cling to it. You're attached to it. Like I said before in part two about being attached to the breath. Oh, I like that feeling. Hold on to it. Hold on to it. Hold on to it. Good luck. It's going to pass. The nature of reality. This is about accepting things as they are rather than how we want them to be. The nature of reality is it is going to rise and it is going to fall. It is going to rise. It is going to fall. Yeah. It's going to arise and then pass away. Everything does. This is impermanence, right? This is the nature of reality. Nothing here is always. Nothing here is always. So if that's the case, us craving that the song doesn't end is clinging. And when the song ends, what happens? Oh, another one. Give me another one. I want to feel that again. And so we go after it again. I want that song again and again and again and again. We do this with food. We do this with scrolling. We do this with sex. We do this with relationships. We crave so badly to get those good sensations again that we end up making ourselves miserable because we're constantly having to chase the next thing. The mind is insatiable. The mind, the ego, the craving is never satisfied. Hear me now, loud and clear. You will never be satisfied when you want. Your wanting will never be satisfied. No matter how much you get what you want, you will always want more. That is the nature of wanting. And that makes you miserable. It makes you unhappy because you can never be satisfied. You can enjoy the moment. I had a great song in the car yesterday. It was bliss, like you're like, yeah, this feels so good. If you understand that it feels so good and understand that this moment will pass and you're okay with that and you can remain equanimous, peaceful, equanimity balanced within that, the balance of your mind, you fully understand that it's going to fade. You fully understand that it's going to go. So enjoy it. It'll pass. Something else will arise again to which you will enjoy. But if you are clinging to it, if you're attached to it, it's going to cause you misery. Let's say you've had a good song on the radio. Its next song is a banger. You're like, yeah, they're playing the best music. I love this radio station. We're going through the process. We're cognizing. We're recognizing. This is so good. I love it. You know, we're like, I remember this. This is great. I have reference points of this song. It's taking me back to when I was 18 and I went to that club and I made out with that awesome girl. She was amazing. You know, like it's now provoking memories. It's giving you the sensation of good feelings. You then decide that you like it. Then you want to crave. You want to hold on to it. Ah, two songs, three songs. This happens again and again. You're like, yeah, I hope this never ends. But it will. Another song comes on. You cognize, you experience it through the ears. And then you go back through your reference point, your Rolodex, so to speak. You recognize. And you go, there's a recognition of, oh, that's that song. And that reminds me of, you know, my ex-boyfriend. You know, or that beat is something similar that I'm not particularly, you know, I remember that kind of experience. I'm now placing meaning on this particular song. That now causes sensations in my body that are sad, fearful, anger. That's now causing me to experience depression and pain and sadness. I don't like it. You know, and then we react and say, I don't like it. I don't want to experience that. So I'm going to push it away. I'm going to make sure that I never have that experience again. Right? So you turn the radio off. Oh, now, because of that aversion, I'm like, oh, I wish that I could go back to those happy songs and those happy feelings. Now I need to go back to like chase it again. Right? This sucks. I hate this. This is awful. That's right. And in avoidance, right? You don't like the sensation. You don't like the sensation that you're experiencing, part two and part three of this four-part process. You don't like the sensation of feeling sad. So in avoidance of the feeling sad, you start recognizing again. You start thinking about it. You may have heard me say in any of my work that overthinking is a symptom of underfeeling. You don't want to feel the sensation of the sadness or whatever is there, so you avoid it by thinking about it again, by thinking. And the logic, you don't know you're doing it consciously, but you now do. The logic goes that if I think about the experience rather than feel the sensation, I don't have to feel it, which you don't, not overly. Because every single time you think about it, you're thinking about it, your mind has been is consuming, your ego is consuming it. It provokes a feeling, so you avoid the feeling, so you're thinking about it again. But again, that's like expecting yourself to get dry by going into the water again. It doesn't work, right? All you're doing by overthinking is promoting more of the feeling. And so what we want to do with the feeling is process it. Go listen to another podcast. Come coach with me. I'm going to teach you how to do that. Not for today's conversation. This part where we are avoiding, we don't want to feel that way, that reaction part, the aversion in this case. I don't like the song. I don't want to feel that way. I'm going to think about it. Now my brain gets overthinking about how I would do it differently in the future. I don't, you know, he did awful to me. It was bad. He treated me poorly. It wasn't okay. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You start looping. In order for you to free yourself from that process, we need to observe reality as it is and understand that it will pass. And it will pass healthier if we do not resist it. Yeah? I always say with our emotions, if you are not processing your emotions, if your emotions are not allowed free passage to come out, you are emotionally constipated and it's going to hurt. So in both instances, you've got a song that you recognize and you've placed meaning on that give you good sensation and you recognize that you like it. You've got a song that came in and it has negative associations. You have negative meanings that you placed on it. You had a negative experience of it and then you didn't like it. And in both cases, craving and aversion is causing you misery. They're causing you pain. It's causing you suffering. And so what the Buddha teaches us is to practice lived experience push-ups to be able to remain as equanimous as possible, to be able to observe reality as it is. Like I said in part two, that you sit there and you do a sitting of strong determination. And for 1 hour, you choose your position, you choose your posture, you close your eyes and you're encouraged. You know, I mean, you can do whatever you want to, but the practice is that you do not move for that hour, no matter how painful physically it will be. And it will be painful, certainly in the beginning. I did a meditation this morning for 1 hour, and whatever position I was in, because I haven't got the equipment and I wasn't set up properly, whatever it was, didn't matter why the sensation was there, but I had numbness and pain through my knee, all the way down my leg, for probably about half an hour, right? It's not there now, right? It's impermanent. It came and it went. Was it challenging to sit there still as a statue and my mind racing, like picking up throwing over the coffee table and throwing shit saying, get out of here. What are you doing? This is insane. I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like it. My mind was so adverse to it. My mind was craving something different. When is that alarm going to go off? When is it going to happen? If we can remain equanimous in those moments when the circumstances that we're experiencing are not to our liking or to our liking, then what ends up happening is that we start to become more peaceful. We are clearing that mind. The ego and the conditioning and the past becomes less and less and less in charge. And the true nature of you becomes more and more and more in charge. I had meditations during Vipassana where exactly that, like I did this morning, where I was in pain, where my body was yelling at me, but more so my mind was yelling at me. The body experience is like, cool, like it's there. My back is aching. Okay. Like, okay. But my mind was going bananas, causing me even more suffering, even more misery, multiplying. That's the thing. In our attempt to get away from suffering, our attempt to get away from our misery, we have craving of like, oh, I want more of that. That's great. Oh, I don't want any of that. That's gross. In that, we are multiplying our misery. We are making our suffering even more simply by doing the thing that we think is going to resolve it for us. But it is not. Likewise, I had blissful meditations. I had meditations where I went somewhere entirely. One meditation, I sat for the solid hour. And I had to consciously, really hard to bring myself back into the body. I was barely there. Drunkenly walked outside, went to the toilet, came back into my meditation position and fell straight back into it and meditated for another, I don't even know, an hour. I think it was about 3 hours in total with maybe a 10-minute break in between. But I was drunk the whole time, like high, like I was in a blissful state of like, I didn't even know where I was. It was glorious. But if I cling to that moment, that's just going to cause me more misery. Oh, I really want that back. That was so beautiful. That was so amazing. It's gone. It's gone. Something else will arise and pass away, arise and pass away. This is the nature. If you want to go and